The Travels, Labors, and Letters of Ellen G. White, from October 8th to December 30th, 1890. Battle Creek, Wednesday, October 8th, 1890. On this date, Ellen White, her son W.C. White, and her secretary nurse, Sarah McInterfer, left Battle Creek for a tour of the eastern states. A few weeks earlier, Elder Olson, the General Conference president, had announced in the church paper, Elder W.C. White, Sister White, and Brother Chadwick will attend important meetings in District No. 1, viz., the annual meetings of the Conference and Tract and Missionary Society of the New England Conference, the same in the Atlantic Conference, the State Meeting in Pennsylvania, and the Virginia Conference. Syracuse, New York, Thursday, October 9th, 1890. At Niagara Bridge, we stepped out of the sleeper and took our seats in the day coach. Soon, every available seat was occupied. We reached Syracuse about noon. Here, Sister Burdick found us and invited us to go to her house for refreshments. It was raining. Her husband had a covered carriage, but could take only one in it. We thought best to step into the day coach, although it would not be in motion for 1 hour and a half. We had a visit with Brother Burdick in the cars. He seemed to be very anxious that we should visit Syracuse and labor for the church. Syracuse is a large city, and the workers in it are very few. Ms. 41, 1890, page 1. Diary 16, page 169. Adams Center, New York, Friday, October 10th, 1890. We arrived at this place from Syracuse at about 4:30 p.m. Brethren Lane, Wilcox, and Place were at the depot waiting for us. We were glad to meet them. A horse and carriage took us to Sister Green's. There we found a comfortable home in every respect. Meetings had been in session 2 days. I was very nervous Friday night and could not sleep until about midnight. Ms. 41, 1890, pages 3 to 4. Diary 16, page 174. Adams Center, New York, Sabbath, October 11th, 1890. At 2:30 p.m., I spoke to a full house. There were quite a number of Seventh-day Baptists present. Extra benches were brought in and placed in the aisles. The gallery was full. I spoke from John 17, verse 3. The Lord gave me freedom in speaking to the people assembled, who listened with interest. A social, that is, testimony, meeting followed, and many excellent testimonies were born. We were gratified to meet the aged servants of God on this occasion. We have been acquainted from the rise of the third angel's message with Elder Frederick Wheeler, who is now nearing 80 years. We have been acquainted with Elders H. H. Wilcox and Charles O. Taylor for the last 40 years. Age is telling on these old standard bearers, as well as upon me. Ms. 41, 1890, page 4. Diary 16, page 175. Adams Center, New York, Sunday, October 12th, 1890. I enjoyed a precious night's rest. Arose 4:15, and after seeking the Lord in prayer for His grace and His blessing, I commenced writing. I feel grateful to the Lord that I endured the taxation of yesterday much better than I expected. I do ask the Lord for strength and grace, and praise His holy name that I do receive decidedly, according to the promise given, the very things I most need. Ms. 41, 1890, page 11. Diary 16, page 176. Adams Center, New York, Monday, October 13th, 1890. Yesterday was a beautiful day, clear and mild. The time was well filled by meetings, preaching, and instruction. I spoke to a full house in the afternoon. Some Seventh-day Adventists were present, and many not of our faith. I am told that there were more from outside present than had ever been at the meeting before. My text was John 17, verse 18. I had much freedom in speaking the words of life to those present. The Lord, I know, gave me His Spirit and His grace in rich measure and a decided testimony for His people. There were many whose hearts seemed to be softened and subdued by the Spirit of the Lord. I have been requested to speak upon temperance. May the Lord guide me in regard to the subjects to present to the people. I consented to speak Monday night. Brother Place spoke last night, and the words were meet in due season, for the Lord spoke through him. At 10 o'clock, I went again into the meeting house and spoke in the business meeting and read an appeal which was written October 12, 1875, in regard to the necessity of following up the labors put forth during the camp meetings with personal effort and with publications. This will fasten the ideas already received. The ministers were invited to Sister DeLoss Green's, and we had a social season together. I praise the Lord that in our feebleness we may take hold upon divine power. Monday afternoon, a horse and buggy was furnished us, and Sarah and I rode to Adams. We find Adams is a larger place than Adams Center. There are more business places, and yet Adams Center is by far the most pleasant and attractive. There are but few stores here. It is decidedly a Seventh-day Baptist settlement. I spoke in the evening to a full house. The congregation paid the most marked attention. The ventilation was not good, and some eyes were heavy, and I requested them to arise and sing, "I Will Follow Thee, My Savior," which had the desired effect. The position was changed, and all seemed aroused to hear the words spoken. I had much freedom in speaking from 2 Peter 1, dwelling upon the precious promises. My special burden is to arouse the laymen in the church to action, that every individual shall sense his duty to become a worker together with God. Ms. 41, 1890, pages 13 to 15. Diary 16, pages 189 to 193. Rome, New York, Tuesday, October 14, 1890. I arose at Adams Center, October 14th, at 4 o'clock, and my heart was filled with gratitude to God for His loving mercy and continual goodness to me. I have slept well. My heart is thankful. We have been preserved on the journey to this place. No accident or harm has befallen us. We left Adams Center at 7:30 and went through to Rome without change. Brother Place engaged a hack, and we rode 1 mile to his house. We were pleased to meet his wife and little son in his own home. We slept well through the night and were refreshed. Ms. 42, 1890, page 1, Diary 16, page 217. South Lancaster, Massachusetts, Wednesday, October 15, 1890. The morning of the 15th was quite cool but pleasant. We enjoyed a precious season of prayer with the family, and then bade them farewell, and the hack took us back to the depot. We stepped on the cars about 15 minutes past 9 a.m. Many crowded into the cars. There were no seats. We were requested to go into the chair car until we reached Utica. We paid nothing extra for this privilege. We find we must economize in every way possible. We arrived at Worcester about 5 o'clock. Had to wait 1.5 hours. We arrived at South Lancaster about 8 o'clock. Brother Robinson was at the depot with carriage for us. We were taken at once to Sister Harris's, where we were welcomed and felt at home. Ms. 42, 1890, pages 1 to 2. Diary 16, pages 217 to 218, 220. South Lancaster, Thursday, October 16th, 1890. Rode out with Brother Robinson to Clinton. It was a beautiful day and we enjoyed the ride much. Visited Sister Jones, wife of Jones. We found her with her children usually well. We called on Sister Haskell, tried to comfort her. Sister Harris and I had a season of prayer with her and we were all blessed. Ms. 42, 1890, page 3. Diary 16, pages 220 to 221. South Lancaster, Friday, October 17th, 1890. Arose at 3 o'clock and devoted some time to prayer. My heart is filled with gratitude to God for His loving kindness. It has rained steadily all the forenoon. About noon the clouds disappeared, and Brother Farnsworth presented Sister Harris and me with his horse and carriage to ride out. My head was tired with much riding. We had a very restful drive. It was dark before we returned. The sky was clear, and the stars shone brightly. I was much refreshed. We had prayer at the commencement of the Sabbath. Ms. 42, 1890, P4, Diary 16, pages 222 to 223. South Lancaster, Sabbath, October 18th, 1890. I arose early and committed my case to the Lord. I have infirmities that press upon me daily, and yet I do not mean to look at these discouraging things. I humbly ask God that if it can glorify His holy name to preserve my eyesight, to preserve my hearing, to keep my mind clear to understand the Scriptures, and to communicate the precious love of Jesus to others. I spoke at 2:30 p.m. I had freedom in speaking and was thankful for the privilege of presenting Jesus and His righteousness before the congregation. The church was full, and our social meeting after the discourse was good. Many precious testimonies were born. Ms. 42, 1890, pages 4 to 5. Diary 16, page 224. South Lancaster, Sunday, October 19th, 1890. I arose at 4:15 a.m. I lifted my heart to God in prayer and pleaded with the mighty Healer to give me His restoring power. He can do great things for me, for He has done much for me, and I long for His salvation to be revealed to those who believe the truth. Why are we so faithless? I attended the meeting in the chapel at 5:30 and spoke to the people a short time. There was a goodly number present, and good testimonies were born.
It is quite foggy. I expected the fog would lift, but was disappointed. The rain set in and has continued to pour from the heavens bountifully. I was indisposed, and with the rain pouring down, I thought for a moment it might be best for me not to go to the meeting. But I reproved myself for thinking of such a thing as disappointing the people and not filling my appointment. At 2:30, I went to the church and found the house well filled, notwithstanding the rain was pouring down. After singing and prayer and singing again, I spoke to the people from John 14. The Lord gave me freedom and His blessing. Ms. 42, 1890, page 5. Diary 16, pages 225 to 226. South Lancaster, Monday, October 20th, 1890. I have risen at 3:00 a.m. I am not feeling well this morning. Was suffering much pain in my left ear from 7:00 until 10. Then obtained rest in sleep. Praise the Lord for the restorer, sleep. What a blessing it is! The malaria seizes me whenever it can have a chance, and I have a continual warfare to keep from being incapacitated for labor on this account. And I do pray that this afflicted ear may recover, and I shall not lose my hearing. The rain continues to pour down from the heavens. I have had an interview with Brother Chadwick, consulting him upon important subjects. Had about 1 hour's conversation with Brother Miles and Sister Sanderson, sister to Dr. Maxson's wife. She is doing a good work in canvassing for Volume 4. Advice was solicited as to whether she should enter the 3 years training school under Dr. Kellogg with a view to foreign missions. I had no special light on her case, but decided to say some things which have rested upon my mind for the year that is nearly past. Elder Prescott called upon me. His age is about the same as mine. We had a profitable talk of past, present, and future. We then bowed in prayer and had a most precious melting season before God. Ms. 42, 1890, pages 6, 8. Diary 16, pages 227 to 228, 231. South Lancaster, Tuesday, October 21st, 1890. Thank the Lord for His mercy and His goodness to me. I slept well last night and rose at 4 o'clock and had a precious season of prayer. I presented my case before God, who knows my infirmities and who can relieve me, for He is able to make His strength perfect in my weakness. I presented in the arms of my faith Sister Haskell and Sister Wheeler, precious souls. I wrote several pages in regard to the responsibilities resting upon every individual member of the church to have some part to act in the Master's vineyard. I attended the 5:30 meeting and rejoiced to see a good number present, for I had important words from the Lord to speak to them. Ms. 42, 1890, pages 8 to 9. Diary 16, pages 232 to 233. South Lancaster, Wednesday, October 22nd, 1890. I arose at about 5. My mind was on a train of thought, and I could not sleep until past midnight. I sought the Lord in prayer, and then went to the morning meeting and spoke a short time in regard to the one hidden talent. I had an interview with Amos Prescott's wife. In the afternoon, read an article written 15 years ago, and it was of deep interest to me. Spoke in the morning meeting, and also in the afternoon. Read letter written to some of our prominent brethren in 1875. Then made some decided remarks which seemed to reach hearts. W.C. White, Sarah McInterfer, and I were invited to take dinner at the college home. I am pleased to see so many intelligent young men and women attending school. They have 105 students of the first class. Ms. 42, 1890, page 16. Diary 16, pages 242, 246. South Lancaster, Thursday, October 23rd, 1890. Slept well last night, and my heart is drawn out to God in earnest prayer for His light and His counsel. I know I want to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. I want God's way, not my way. God's will, not my will. I surrender myself wholly to the Lord. Calls are being made. We need your help in our churches in Michigan, and we need your help in the state of Maine. We need your help in the New England Conference. We need your testimony right here in Lancaster. May the good Lord let His voice be heard. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Of one thing I am sure. I need one who is too wise to err to grant me His presence and to go before me wherever I go, or all my efforts will be useless. I am now speaking once and frequently twice each day and doing much writing, and I am sleeping well nights. Sister McInterfer and I rode to Clinton. It was a most beautiful day. In the afternoon, Sister Harris and I rode out 4 miles and gathered barberries. Ms. 42, 1890, pages 16 to 17. Diary 16, pages 247 to 248. Dear Marian, it is time that you have a period of entire rest, and I hope you will now regard my wishes and take it. While out to your father's, do not try to write or fix manuscript. Just let the mind rest and be free. Go anywhere you please, do anything you please, and rest. Your wages shall go on just the same. This is my decided wish, and then, when I am through with this round of meetings, we will go into the preparation of the life of Christ, fresh and earnest. Will you do it? I am writing a little, as I can, on the life of Christ, but other topics come in with my labor, to which I am obliged to give thought and trace upon paper. I am doing considerably more in the writing line than when at Battle Creek. I think the atmosphere is some better here, South Lancaster, than at Battle Creek. South Lancaster, Friday, October 24th, 1890. Rain commenced in the night and continued all day. I see, notwithstanding the rain, the people are coming in from Connecticut and Nashua. The church was full of people in the afternoon. I tried to speak to them from John 15, on the relation of the branch to the vine. The atmosphere was very heavy and lifeless, and it seemed impossible for all the people to keep awake. We called for them to rise up and sing, and yet there was an oppression in the atmosphere in the room. I thought best to change the exercise, and I asked those who had never surrendered their hearts to God, and those who were being overcome with temptation, to come forward. There were 8 seats occupied. Some bore testimony of their needs before a season of prayer. The Lord indicted prayer. Brethren Goodrich and Robinson prayed with great fervor. The Lord gave me freedom in prayer, and the blessing of the Lord rested upon myself and many others. The pain of heart left me, and the peace of the Lord took possession of my heart. Thank the Lord. In the morning, October 24th, Elder Goodrich called to see me, and we had a lengthy conversation in reference to the necessity of help in the state of Maine. Ms. 42, 1890, pages 17 to 18. Diary 16, pages 249-250. South Lancaster, Sabbath, October 25th, 1890. I have had a very restless night. I labored hard Friday afternoon, coming at 2:30 and continuing my labors until sundown. The Lord blessed me indeed. The Lord removed the pain in my heart. The Lord gave me peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Although I was quite sick in the night, I did not lose my faith. I did not allow the enemy to beat off my hold from Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord I obtained some hours of rest before daybreak. I am weak this morning. Arose at 5:00 and sought the Lord in prayer, and I am comforted and blessed. My life seems to be a continual battle with infirmities, but the Lord strengthens me to bear my testimony for Him. He helpeth my infirmities. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. And when so very weak that it seems impossible for me to speak, He makes me courageous and strong and joyful. He imparts His Spirit and His life that I can impart the same to others and comfort them with the consolation wherewith I am comforted. My son Willie White spoke this forenoon, giving a very profitable talk to the youth and for the benefit of the students at the academy. His way of presenting these subjects seems to reach the hearts of the youth. Our ministering brethren urged Willie to speak. Much against his will, he consented. I believe this is what he ought to do, rather than to be a businessman, even as correspondent for foreign missions. I spoke in the afternoon with special freedom. The house was full. I again made the call for volunteers in the Lord's army. I begged that souls would leave the black banner of the powers of darkness, the black banner of Satan, and stand under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel. 5 seats were filled. Many were seeking the Lord for the first time. A large number were students from the school. What a precious sight! If there is joy in heaven in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth, what joy must there be in heaven over more than a score of souls coming to Jesus? This was a very solemn scene, and many hearts in the congregation were deeply moved. There was unmistakable evidence that the presence of the Lord Jesus was in the meeting. When we bowed for prayer, Brother Farnsworth, Brother Robinson, Brother Farman, and myself prayed, and we all had a spirit of earnest intercession, not only for those who were seeking the Lord, but for the whole congregation, and especially for the ministers. Ms. 42, 1890, pages 24 to 25. Diary 16, pages 260 to 262. South Lancaster, Sunday, October 26th, 1890. I have not been able to sleep since 3:00. I arose and indulged in a bath, then tried to see if I could sleep, but no, I have too much thinking to do. I dressed and then enjoyed a precious season of prayer and have been writing since 4:00. It is now 6:30. I spoke in the afternoon to a large audience. I feared I should not have strength, but the Lord gave me His grace and His power to address the people from 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, Ms. 42, 1890, pages 29 to 30, Diary 16, pages 270, 272. South Lancaster, Monday, October 27th, 1890. I arose early, attended morning meeting, and read an article written in regard to the canvassers working so largely for one book, Bible readings, and letting Volume 4, The Great Controversy, fall dead from the press. The very matter that the people are in need of, they do not have, because there is no interest manifested to circulate it. Took dinner with Brother Robinson's family. His wife's mother, Sister Farnsworth, I have not met for many years. We had a little visit. In the evening, I read three articles to those assembled in the church. This is very important matter. I became very weary. There is a gathering in my head. I have considerable pain in head and ear. Received some treatment at night. I am compassed with infirmities, but I cling to the promise, I am your restorer. I will restore you. In all your pain and afflictions, remember, I will restore you. This I believe. Ms. 42, 1890, page 32. Diary 16, page 274. South Lancaster, Tuesday, October 28th, 1890. I have had more sleep than I feared I should get when I lay down. My ear was poulticed, yet I see no special change for the better. Brother Emery Farnsworth brought his horse and phaeton and took Sarah and me to Clinton, and I visited a dentist to see if my teeth created any of this difficulty. He examined my teeth and said that they did not need any repairing. I am asking the Lord to help me, to remove the pain, and strengthen me to do the work before me. I know I have a message for the people. I had a long talk with Stephen Belden. He is humble and seems to be in a good state spiritually. He is passing through sore trials now. I am sorry for him and tried to comfort him and encourage him to trust in the Lord. I had a talk with Brother Robinson. Profitable, I trust. Brother Edwards came in to visit me. I had a long talk with him, which I hope will relieve his mind. Sister Palmer came in, and I talked with her a short time. I find enough to do to occupy every moment with earnest work. Ms. 42, 1890, pages 32 to 33. Diary 16, page 275. South Lancaster, Wednesday, October 29th, 1890. I arose early and sought the Lord in prayer for His blessing. I can of myself do nothing. My strength, I sensibly feel, is weakness. But the Lord is my helper. In Him will I trust. I spoke in the academy at 8:30. The students were assembled, and I have much pleasure in saying I have not seen a better class of students assembled in any school than is now attending the South Lancaster Academy. I dwelt largely upon the necessity of their making themselves all that they possibly could, always trusting in the Lord to open their understanding and give them His grace and His wisdom. Ms. 42, 1890, page 33. Diary 16, page 276. En route from New York City to Pennsylvania, Thursday, October 30th, 1890. We left South Lancaster yesterday at about 2:00. Was obliged to remain in Worcester 3 hours. Left at 5:00 p.m. and arrived at New York City at 10:00 p.m. Willie had preceded us to the city 2 days. We were obliged to go to Brooklyn to the mission. We changed 5 times, I think, and every change required descending stairs or going upstairs. How thankful I was that the Lord had strengthened my limbs, especially my ankle bones, that I could walk as fast and climb stairs equal to any of our party, Willie Robinson, Sarah McEnterfer, and myself. We did not get to rest until midnight. I praise the Lord this morning. I can report to those who ask, "How did you sleep?" Well, notwithstanding the elevated rail cars were rattling over the rails almost by our windows. We were delayed one day longer than we designed. I had ague in my ear, and head was involved. I suffered much pain, dared not be on the road. I consulted a dentist. He said the teeth were not the cause of this affliction. Then I took alcohol, sweat, and worked my best to subdue the pain, and the relief came. I am made aware that all this trouble was the result of a severe cold. I have been urging my prayer for the Lord to strengthen me, to give my poor heart a rest from pain. I leave my petition at the throne of grace and say, "Not my will, but thine, O Lord, be done." If it be his pleasure to give me grace to work for him in pain and suffering almost constantly, and this is best for me, I say, Amen. I will continue to work until I lay off the armor at the feet of my Redeemer. Ms. 43, 1890, pages 1 to 2. Salamanca, New York, Thursday night, October 30th, 1890. Yesterday, Wednesday, October 29th, was a trying day for me, especially in the evening. As we approached New York City, it was about 10 o'clock. I much dislike the elevated railroad. We changed so often and had to travel up and down the stairs and be exposed to currents of air with the cold upon me. I was feeling very disagreeable. We waited at one station more than half an hour while Brother Robinson and Willie White went to seek a place to deposit calligraph and large luggage. Here I got cold by being exposed to currents of air and greatly feared the consequences. It was 11 o'clock at night when we reached the mission at Brother Robinson's. It was some time before we could awaken anyone. We succeeded at last, and we were welcomed into the mission, had a cup of warm drink, and retired. The elevated railroad was very near our chamber, and the noise of travel was continued until late, but I slept the sleep of weariness. As early as possible after breakfast and a season of prayer, we started on our journey back to New York City to take the cars. We had to go through the same wearisome process, going upstairs and downstairs to ride on the elevated railroad in order to get to our destination. We felt thankful when the hurry and bustle were over, and we were seated in the cars for Salamanca, New York, which place we reached Thursday night at 11 o'clock. I was sick and tired and nervous. It seemed to me I could not endure the overheating of the cars. There was no comfort to passengers, notwithstanding their earnest protests. One man would complain of the ventilators being opened or the door being opened, and he would succeed in getting them closed. I hope never to have to suffer such nervous prostration as on that car. Thursday night. We met Brother Hicks at the depot, and he had us as his guests at his home. It was raining all day, and here in this place the ground was covered with snow, the first we had seen this year. All were in bed, and Brother Hicks provided hot water for me to drink before retiring. Ms. 44, 1890, pages 1 to 2. Diary 16, pages 283 to 284. Salamanca, New York, Friday morning, October 31st, 1890. We were introduced to Brother Hicks' mother, a kindly-looking lady, not a Sabbath keeper, and not opposed. Brother Hicks' wife is in the insane asylum in consequence of a fall 16 years before, striking upon the back of her head. They have a son 15 years old, a quiet lad. He does not make any profession of religion. Brother Hicks is employed to oversee the working force on the railroad, receiving $1,500 per year. He embraced the Sabbath and sent in his resignation, but the president of the road did not accept it, so he has continued to keep the Sabbath and do his work. He has been sent for a number of times to oversee some difficult job on the railroad on the Sabbath, but he did not respond, and they did not discharge him, for he is faithful and is esteemed highly. Ms. 44, 1890, page 2. Diary 16, page 284. Salamanca, New York, Sabbath, November 1st, 1890. The cold is very severe upon me. I shall attempt to speak, but it will be with difficulty. We have the Congregational Church. The Lord did indeed help and strengthen and bless me in speaking to the people, dwelling largely upon the necessity of faith and love for one another as followers of Christ, which has been almost extinct in our churches. The words spoken were heartily received, and the seed sown, I sincerely believe, will start a train of thought that will result in the cultivation of greater love and increased faith in the rich promises of God. Miss 44, 1890, pages 2 to 3, Diary 16, page 285. Salamanca, New York, Sunday, November 2nd, 1890. I am suffering much with the cold in my head, my throat, and my lungs. And yet I spoke on the subject of temperance, dwelling largely upon the necessity of training children that they shall not become drunkards. All listened with most earnest attention, and many came and thanked me. Miss 44, 1890, page 4. Diary 16, page 287. Salamanca, New York, Monday, November 3rd, 1890. I had an appointment Monday afternoon, and I tried to fill it. My head was suffering. My ears could scarcely hear my own voice, yet the Lord helped me, else I could not possibly have spoken. I could scarcely stand upon my feet, but I felt the sustaining power of God upon me. I dwelt again upon the necessity of faith, the necessity of loving God supremely and our neighbor as ourselves. I could not tell the words I spoke, but many said, "The power of God was upon you." The words came to us as wonderful inspiration. I know that the words of the Lord Jesus had come to the people. Many spoke of the help they received from the words spoken. I told them to render no thanks to me. God, and He alone, should have the praise. I was only an instrument in His hands, and I could not have stood upon my feet and spoken at all had not the Lord helped me in a special manner. I had a lengthy interview with a sister of Sister Bowen. She has an unbelieving husband who opposes her violently and is cruel and abusive to her and to her children. She attended this meeting without his knowledge, on her way to visit her father and mother. She knows not what is before her. Her husband found her reading the Bible. He took the large family Bible, cut out the family record, besmeared its pages with kerosene oil, and threw it into the fire. He burns all her books and papers if he can find them. His ingenuity to discover anything that is of a religious character and consume it is satanic. The enmity of Satan against God and the truth is not abated, and we need to be imbued with the Spirit of God. Ms. 44, 1890, pages 4 to 5, Diary 16, pages 288 to 289. En route from Salamanca to Sands, Virginia, Tuesday, November 4th, 1890. We left Salamanca Tuesday, November 4th, 1890, about 11 o'clock. The train was delayed, and we were obliged to wait at the depot. It was very small, and the company that was to take the cars was large. They were mostly our people returning from the meeting. All wished to speak with me, and I was able to speak with them. The snow was falling. We were at last seated in the cars and were thankful to be moving. Oh, praise the Lord! I longed to be where I could write out the things that were open to me the past night. It was the Lord. Sentence apparently unfinished. Ms. 44, 1890, page 6, Diary 16, page 290. Sands, Stanley, Virginia, Wednesday, November 5th, 1890. On the cars, we met Brother Lawhead and his son. We were passing over the same ground that we went over 2 years ago in journeying to Williamsport at the time of the flood. We changed cars at Elmira and at Williamsport, and then we journeyed to Harrisburg. We tarried there until the next morning. We walked to the hotel from the depot, a few blocks, and we found crowds everywhere yelling at the top of their voices because it was election of the state officers and governor of the state. We did not return until 11 o'clock at night. The noise and shouting kept up all night. We had to be at the train at 4:30. We were called at 4:15, giving us 3/4 hour to dress and to be at the depot, check baggage, and buy tickets. We were glad to be seated in the cars, but we had in the cars about 12 men who had more liquor than good sense. They kept up a constant disturbance, snatching one another's hats, pounding one another on the head with their hats, tossing them, jamming them up in all kinds of shapes, and placing themselves in pugilistic attitudes. Oh, how sick and tired we were of these performances! We changed cars and had not been long seated before we changed cars again, for they said the wheelbox was on fire. We got placed in the car, rode a few miles, and then had to change again, for the car was disabled, broken. We went into the same car we had left. It was altogether a very disagreeable ride. We reached this place, Sands, Virginia, about 12 o'clock. The train is usually due about 11 o'clock. We found Brother Lewis, who lives within 3 miles of Washington, Virginia, waiting with team for us. We rode out 1 mile. Brother Robinson and Willie White walked. Close by the meeting house, which was built for our people, was a building owned by Brother Painter. It was at this time vacant, and the brethren moved into it to entertain those who came. We have very good accommodations, but in marked contrast to the ample and abundant rooms in Salamanca. We seldom find ourselves so well situated in our travels as we did at Brother Hicks. We have not a thing to complain of, for the Lord's people here are doing their very best, and we are fully satisfied. Ms. 45, 1890, pages 1 to 2, Diary 16, pages 290 to 291. Sands, Virginia, Thursday, November 6th, 1890. Brother Robinson, Sarah McEnterfer, Willie White, and I were accommodated by Brother Lewis, taking us with his horses and carriage about 8 miles to Luray to see the caverns. We went into a building, and for $1 each, we were furnished a guide, and I was astonished at what my eyes beheld. To give a description of this scene is simply impossible. It was wonderful, too wonderful to describe. We spent 1.5 hours, with electric lights and lanterns or a tin with candles, 3 in each tin. We rode back, taking our dinner as we rode back to our stopping place at Sands. The road was quite rough, but we enjoyed the ride very much. The day was mild, the sun shone in clearness, and the scenery was good. I received letters from Brother McClure, Emma White, and Brother J.S. Washburn. Ms. 45, 1890, page 2, Diary 16, page 292. Sands, Virginia, Friday, November 7th, 1890.
I arose at 5 o'clock and had a season of prayer, pleading with the Lord for His presence, His grace, and heavenly wisdom. I asked the Lord to give me health and relieve my heart of its pain and sickness, and I believe that He will hear my prayer and give me the message to bear in demonstrating the Spirit to this people. I had a little visit with some of the family, brethren who have come from West Virginia across the mountains. I wrote several pages this morning and attended morning meeting, spoke with great freedom. Many precious testimonies were born. I told the people I would meet with them every morning if the Lord would give me strength. They need to be educated here, line upon line, and precept upon precept. Oh, how I long to have them grasp the rich promises of God and conceive all their possibilities, all their privileges, to ask of Jesus those things which they so much need. I spoke again to the people this afternoon at 2:30. The house was full, and more than half were unbelievers, but they listened with intense earnestness. The Lord gave me strength to speak with great earnestness and power 1.5 hours. I feel to praise the Lord that He is renewing my strength and enabling me to bear the message He has given me. Oh, for the baptism of the Holy Ghost! I want the people to have it. They need it. We want rich blessings from the Lord in order to represent Christ to the people. I sent off to the mail 16 pages, all but 4 written today. Ms. 45, 1890, page 3. Diary 16, page 293. Sands, Virginia, Sabbath, November 8th,
1890. I arose early, and after seeking the Lord in prayer, I wrote many pages. At 8:30, attended morning meeting and gave them a morning talk. I sought to revive their faith by relating my experience in Salamanca. Hearts seemed to be touched. I urged them to ask greater blessings of the Lord and to believe that He would bless, and then not to go away and waver about it. The Lord would have us firm and importunate, as was Elijah and the importunate widow who obtained their requests because they would not let go. I spoke in the afternoon from John 17. The Lord gave me much of His Holy Spirit. The house was full. I called those forward who wished to seek the Lord more earnestly, and for those who wished to give themselves to the Lord, a whole sacrifice. For a time, not one made a move, but after a while, many came forward and bore testimonies of confession. We had a precious season of prayer, and all felt broken down, weeping and confessing their sins. Ms. 45, 1890, pages 3 to 4, 6. Diary 16, pages 294, 299. Sands, Virginia, Sunday, November 9th, 1890. Attended morning meetings and walked to them. There were crowds coming into the meeting. Not more than one half could get entrance into the house. Brother Miles spoke in the forenoon. I spoke in the afternoon from Matthew 6, verse 19. 135, by count, were in the house, and outside platforms were made by the windows, and many stood by the windows on the platform of boards, and others on the ground. The windows were opened so that they could hear. Many were in uncomfortable positions, pressed up as close to the windows as possible to hear the word of life. The platform of the desk was crowded with men and women. I was surprised that there was as much quiet as there was. Many, many were standing all the time. Many scarcely moved from their positions during the 1 hour and a half I was speaking. Ms. 45, 1890, pages 6 to 7, Diary 16, pages 300 to 301. Sands, Virginia, Monday, November 10th, 1890. I slept this morning unusually long. It was 5 o'clock before I left my bed. After a season of prayer, I wrote important matters to which my mind was called in a dream. I know it was a message for this people. I read the same in the early morning meeting. I spoke to a full house in the afternoon from John 14. The Lord put His Holy Spirit upon me in large measure. There was a large attendance of unbelievers. We hoped, when we made the call for all who wished to take their stand for the Lord more fully, that several would have strength to decide, but something held them. The enemy seemed to have power over them, and none led out on this occasion. After much labor and a season of earnest prayer, some responded, and yet we felt that there should have been a more earnest response. We had done our duty, we could do no more, but we were disappointed at the reluctance to move. Ms. 45, 1890, page 8. Diary 16, pages 302 to 303. Washington, D.C., Tuesday, November 11th, 1890. Early in the morning at 5 o'clock, I called the members of the household. We left Sands at 6 a.m. We rode 1 mile to the depot. We were behind time by the clock, and we feared the cars would leave us. Diary 16, page 308. Washington, D.C., Wednesday, November 12th, 1890. In the morning. I am not feeling well. I feel sensibly the taxation that was upon me through hard labor at Sands, Virginia. There is a gathering in my ear. I visited Dr. Davis, who is one with us in the faith. He examined my teeth and tells me that there is nothing to be done to them. I am relieved, for I feared that my teeth might cause the pain in my ear. This day was not without its trials. There is a sense of exhaustion. I try to leave my case in the hands of God. I keep my mind in a praying, supplicating position that the Lord will impart to me His own Holy Spirit, for I know that without His special help, I shall not be able to speak to the people. I have not been able to speak nights without paying the penalty in a sleepless night. We rode in the streetcar about 3/4 of an hour to the hall, the place of meeting. This was a commodious place. The hall was full, and I spoke with freedom upon the lesson of Christ to his disciples, the vine and the branches, John 15. The Lord gave me much freedom, and the trembling of nerves left me after I had spoken about 5 minutes. His grace strengthened me. Ms. 46, 1890, pages 1 to 2. Diary 16, page 310. Brooklyn, New York. Thursday, November 13th, 1890. We had the privilege of speaking to some I had met 2 years before when I visited Washington, and my heart rejoiced to see a goodly number who had embraced the truth since that time. Many noble, intelligent men and women pressed forward to take my hand and express their pleasure in hearing me speak. We found the cab waiting for us. We went directly from the meeting to the depot. Brother accompanied us to the city of New York. My son Willie left Wednesday night in response to the second urgent request from Elder Olson to meet him just as early as possible. I consented to have him leave the same night. He arrived in Washington at noon, 12 o'clock, and left at 11 o'clock at night. We were pleased to learn a train left about 10 p.m. My berth had been procured, and I had the privilege of resting in my berth. When we reached Baltimore, the car we were in was filled with an offensive oil smell, combined with heavy smoke. I was afraid the firebox, axle, was on fire and that this caused the smoke. We tarried some time in Baltimore, and I tried to keep my breathing organs covered so as not to take into my lungs the oppressive atmosphere that was almost stifling. Ms. 46, 1890, pages 2 to 3. Diary 16, page 313. Brooklyn, New York, circa Friday, November 14th, 1890. Letter to Albert Harris. Willie and Sarah and I have been attending a series of meetings. It was a trial trip with me. I did not know how I would endure the fatigue of journeying and the speaking, traveling in all kinds of weather and having to put up with all kinds of conveyances and all kinds of fare. If I have appointments, they must be filled, rain or snow or sunshine. I thank my Heavenly Father I have been enabled, through Christ strengthening me, to stand at my post and bear my testimony with freedom in the demonstration of the Spirit. My first appointment was at Adams Center, New York. This is in a Seventh-day Baptist community, and they attended the meetings. Quite a large number of them were much prejudiced, but the prejudice they confessed was all gone when they heard me speak. The meeting house was full all through the meetings. We had here a good and convenient place to tarry in, a pilgrim's resting place. Sister Green was a widow and true as steel to her profession of faith. I spoke here 3 times, but in affliction. The inflammation was in my ear, a sore was gathering, but the Lord helped me. Sunday relief came. It broke, but Monday the pain was very severe. Yet we took the cars for Rome on our way to South Lancaster. We were made welcome by Brother Place, an efficient minister in the cause of God, proclaiming the truth. Tuesday morning we again stepped on board the cars. It was raining. We reached South Lancaster. Here we remained over 2 Sabbaths. I spoke 14 times. The burden of labor was upon me. The Lord gave me precious tokens of His love and His rich grace. The difficulty came with great force again upon me, pain in my head, but the Lord did not leave me comfortless. He gave me His grace to bear my affliction. Tuesday I was still afflicted and was delayed a day, but spoke to the students Wednesday in the academy with much freedom and left that noon. It was pouring down rain. We reached Brooklyn, New York about midnight, and early next morning were on our way for Pennsylvania meeting. Here we came in to Salamanca, New York, about 11 o'clock in a snowstorm. We had a good home here. We stopped with a brother who has recently embraced the truth. Here I spoke 3 times to the people, my head still afflicted. When almost discouraged, thinking I must give up the future appointments, when as I knelt to pray, suddenly the glory of the Lord shone around about me. The whole room seemed to be filled with the presence of God. I was happy, so happy. I did not sleep scarcely any of that night because of gladness of heart and peace and comfort from the Lord, which passeth knowledge. I said nothing more about returning home, but went to the depot in a snowstorm. We had to tarry at a hotel that night, and next day at noon we were at Sands, Virginia. Here we had very excellent meetings. I spoke 7 times. Willie spoke Sabbath forenoon with much freedom. Our meetings closed Monday night. Well, the Lord has indeed wrought for us on this journey. Early Tuesday morning, we took the cars at 6:30 for Washington and arrived there at 12 o'clock noon. Wednesday night spoke to a hall full of intelligent, noble-looking people. About 100 are keeping the Sabbath in Washington, had much freedom in speaking to the people, and they eagerly received the words spoken, then came with outstretched hands to welcome me and say farewell, and tell me how much good the words spoken had done them, and beg me to come and stay with them a few weeks. I made a conditional promise and had to tear myself away, for the carriage was at the door to take me immediately to the cars, which left at 10 o'clock that night. I took a sleeper and arrived in New York City at 6:30 in the morning, Thursday. I have spoken this day once to an interested hall full. The platforms were full, and the Lord gave me His Holy Spirit in speaking to the people. We spend 2 Sabbaths here. This is an important part of the Lord's vineyard. About 100 have embraced the truth, and if they become light bearers to the world, they will flash the light upon the darkened minds of hundreds. Brooklyn, New York, Sabbath, November 15th, 1890. We arrived here in this city Friday morning. I was pleased to ride all the way from the ferry in the streetcar and not on the elevated railroad. We had a good room assigned to my use exclusively, but the elevated railroad goes directly by the house, and I was fearful the thundering noise would prevent me from sleeping. There is a large company who are being accommodated in 3 different tenements, MS 46, 1890, page 3, Diary 16, page 314. Brooklyn, New York, Sunday, November 16th, 1890. I spoke to a full house at 11 o'clock Sabbath a.m. with much freedom. I do not think I have ever seen a better class of people before me. There was nobility and intelligence. We had a good social meeting. Many excellent testimonies were born. MS 46, 1890, page 3, Diary 16, page 315. Brooklyn, New York, Monday, November 17th, 1890. Attended morning meeting and spoke to the people with much freedom upon the subject of faith and the righteousness of Christ. Brother Lindsay made decided confession to the point. He called those forward who desired a deeper work of grace in their hearts. Quite a number responded, and by request, I prayed in their behalf. The Lord came graciously near to bless us, and we know that He has peace and rest for the souls of all who come to Him as their only hope. We so much desire the softening, subduing influence of the Spirit of God upon our own hearts. I remained for the conference meeting and was requested to speak and say what I thought of having a ministerial school established in Brooklyn, united with a school for the canvassers and educating Bible readers. I told them I was not prepared to speak to the point intelligently. I wished to give the subject more reflection and earnest prayer, seeking counsel from God. MS 46, 1890, page 4, Diary 16, page 318. Brooklyn, New York, Tuesday, November 18th, 1890. Attended morning meeting. We had an excellent meeting. Many live testimonies were born. I tried to impress upon the people that we must have simplicity of faith and perfect trust in our Heavenly Father. I felt urged by the Spirit of God to speak plainly.
We remained for the conference meeting, and many important matters were discussed. I was again called on for my counsel in reference to having a school held in New York City. I answered that I had light upon this matter, that I could now speak. It was not advisable to have a school, in New York, for the purpose of educating ministers or canvassers. There was such a school already in session in Battle Creek. Facilities and a combination of varied talents were positively essential to make such a school a complete success. To have one man's mind, one man's mold, and one man's talent as educator, or even the talents of two or three men, were not all that was necessary. There must be a broader and deeper work in educating ministers to understand the Scriptures, and to labor intelligently and devotedly, humbly walking with God. The work of fitting up canvassers was another thing, although this work also demanded that men appointed to educate in this line should be men who were in close communion with God. Ms. 46, 1890, pages 4 to 5. Diary 16, page 319. Brooklyn, New York, Wednesday, November 19th, 1890. I arose at 4 o'clock, sought the Lord in prayer. This is a day of feebleness to me, yet I will put my trust in God, who is my helper and my God. I wrote many pages to be used at the present time, at the close of this year, 1890. With Sarah, I fulfilled an engagement to take dinner with Brother and Sister King. Again, I mounted 2 pairs of stairs to reach the elevated railroad to take the cars for their place. We had 1 change. I feel very disagreeable in riding so high up in the air. We had a very pleasant visit. Ms. 46, 1890, page 5. Diary 16, page 320. Brooklyn, New York, Thursday, November 20th, 1890. I spoke this evening at 5 o'clock, and the Lord gave me great freedom. I feel my weakness, and I am pleading with God to restore me. I believe that He will do it. I am reaching out for stronger faith. Ms. 29A, 1890, page 1. Diary 16, page 321. Brooklyn, New York, Friday, November 21st, 1890. I think not best to attend morning meetings. I am urged by the Spirit of the Lord to write important matters in reference to the work of God for this time and the necessity of the churches reaching a higher standard. Diary 16, page 323. Brooklyn, New York, Sabbath, November 22nd, 1890. This morning I pleaded most earnestly with the Lord for His presence, for the enlightenment which He alone can give me. I wrestled for some time in prayer, and placed myself decidedly on the Lord's side, to believe every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I will not take myself out of His hands. Infirmities press me at all times, and my faith is tested severely. Oh, that I may never lose sight of Jesus, my hope and my consolation. I spoke to a room packed with interested listeners from Isaiah 58. The Lord's presence was in the congregation. Testimonies followed in quick succession. Ms. 29A, 1890, page 6. Diary 16, pages 325, 327. Brooklyn, New York, Monday, November 24th, 1890. I rise this morning with gratitude in my heart for a precious night's rest. The cars on the elevated railroad have been thundering past all night, but I have slept excellently well. I did not fill my appointment at the hall yesterday evening at 5 o'clock. The managers of the building let it to other parties when our people had engaged it for the day. But we could not help ourselves, as there was no written contract. This ought always to be secured. We must be more thorough in our business management. Many had purposed to come with their unbelieving relatives, and this was a great disappointment to them. They wept with sorrow. This disappointment we must reckon among the all things that shall work together for good to those that love God. I was solicited to speak in the evening to those assembled in the next tenement, the canvassing class. I have now spoken 4 times in the morning and business meetings, and for 1 hour last evening to the canvassing class. This morning Brother Chadwick leaves us and returns to Battle Creek. He is in danger, through the prevailing influences which exist there,
of becoming unbalanced in mind. Willie leaves later in the week for Battle Creek. Sarah and I shall attend meetings at Norwich, Connecticut, and at Danvers, Massachusetts. Brother Asa Robinson will be in attendance at these meetings. We wish that Willie could be with us also, but it seems to be necessary for him to go to Battle Creek at this time to attend to important matters. I ought to have him with me in my work, but if the presence of the Lord goes with us, we shall have profitable and successful meetings. I send large packages of important matters to be used during the remnant of the year 1890. I want to arouse and break the deadness of the silence of the churches, that they may have a sense of their work. Ms. 29A, 1890, pages 8, 10, Diary 16, pages 331, 334. Brooklyn, New York, Tuesday, November 25th, 1890.
During the night, I have been in communion with God. I have been brought by my guide into councils in Battle Creek, and I have a message to bear to you, whether you will hear or not, whether you will receive it or reject it. The people must know that they are not moving in the order of God. They have left Christ out of their councils. Leading men are giving a mold to the work that will result in a loss of many souls, for they are moving away from the safe path. Many come here from foreign countries, thinking that Battle Creek, from whence come the publications of truth, will be next to heaven. How disappointed they feel when they hear in this place the message of God spoken of lightly. When they hear the messengers of God, by some in responsible places, made a subject of ridicule. And why is this? It is because the message of the messengers does not coincide in every particular with the ideas of those whom the Lord names his scorners, although it is a message sent from heaven. Where the truth is rejected, it opens up a way where false waymarks will be set up, and perils will rise on all sides. Through neglect of seeking the earnest counsel of God, men will be connected with the office who will form themselves into a ring to echo the sentiments of him whom they consider most influential and who pleases their human ideas. My guide spoke slowly and solemnly. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For God is with us. See Isaiah 8, verse 9, 10. Men may be selected by the conference to connect with the office of publication, but unless these men look to God, and with a transformation of character, unless they realize that eternal vigilance is the price of safety, unless they seek counsel of God in large and small matters, concerning things connected with the sacred work of God, unless they are emptied of vanity and self, they will be turned from the safe path, and will turn others from the path cast up for the ransomed of the Lord. Unless these associated together are converted men, and they realize the sacredness of the work of God for these last times, they will surely imperil the work of God, and discouragement will come upon the people. It is not enough that they assent to the truth. The question is, are they sanctified through the truth? Has the truth been brought into the inner sanctuary of the soul? The past, present, and future were plainly revealed to me. MS 6, 1890, pages 2 to 3. Diary 16, pages 336 to 338. On the steamer City of Boston, Wednesday night, November 26th, 1890. We left Brooklyn, Brother Miles, Sarah McInterfer, and I, to go to our appointment at Norwich, Connecticut. We said goodbye to Willie, not expecting to see him again for 3 weeks. Then we will meet him in Washington. We first took a streetcar as far as the bridge, then we climbed the stairs to the elevated railroad, then down the stairs after we crossed the bridge. We were on the crowded street of Broadway, dodging this way and then that way between teams, narrowly escaping being run over. We reached a car we wished to take, and it went very slowly, being obstructed with heavily loaded vehicles again and again. Changed cars again, and just as we were about to get on board the horse car,
there came a heavily loaded wagon drawn by two powerful horses. They almost collided with the streetcar and became fixed for a time onto the car. I saw a place where we could dodge past the team and board the train. I ran, calling the others to follow with the baggage, which they did, and once more we were moving along. Soon we were obstructed with heavily loaded wagons. As we were near the wharf, we decided to leave the car and walk. It was only a few rods. We were able, after going before teams and behind them and between them, to pass down the gangplank into the boat. Here I am writing, sitting in my berth in my stateroom. I had opportunity to write until it was thought best to get to rest. We had good convenience in the line of beds. I was awakened out of my sleep by someone rapping on my door. I asked what was wanted and was asked where we were bound. I told them, to Norwich, Connecticut. At 1 o'clock the boat stopped. Then, to our sorrow, we learned that the gangway where all the luggage or freight was laden and unloaded was directly beneath our stateroom. There was the noise of trundling wheelbarrows, orders being given, and the loading of barrels until morning. A very poor chance to sleep. We were to be awakened at 4 o'clock, but our awakening commenced at 1 o'clock and continued until 4. We had to take the cars at 5 o'clock. It was bitterly cold, yet beautifully pleasant. We walked quite a distance to the depot. There was a large waiting room, one room for men and women. Cards were hanging on the walls saying, "No smoking in this room," and yet there were several men smoking away unrestrained. How glad I was to get on board the cars. After riding about 1 hour, we came to Norwich and decided to walk nearly 1 mile to Brother and Sister Greer's. We reached the place about 6 o'clock. It was hardly light. We rang the bell again and again, but no one heard. We tried at another door with better success, and roused Brother Greer, and he let us in. Soon, Sister Greer was up, and we were made welcome. Thus ended my entering of my 64th birthday. Ms. 49, 1890, pages 1 to 2. Diary 16, pages 343 to 346. Norwich, Connecticut. Thursday, November 27th, 1890. November 27th, we were among strangers in a place we had never visited before. We had both become so thoroughly chilled that it was very difficult to get the blood to the surface in good circulation. We walked out, Sarah and I, about 1 mile, and the air was sharp but bracing. I came to the breakfast table at 9 o'clock. Oh, how hungry I was! I ate very heartily. Dinner was at 3 o'clock, and I was again hungry for dinner. It was Thanksgiving Day. I tried to sleep some, but I could sleep only a few moments. Brother Miles talked that night to the few assembled. The people are very much scattered and cannot readily assemble at the meeting house. Ms. 49, 1890, page 2, Diary 16, page 346. Norwich, Connecticut. Friday, November 28th, 1890. I am quite comfortable today. Wrote many pages to send to Battle Creek to be read during the week of prayer. We rode out to Norwich Town, Connecticut, 3 miles. Purchased cloth shoes, for my feet are cold, and I dare not continue to have them cold. I was pleased to get back to my place where I was entertained. I spoke in the evening from John 14. If ye love me, keep my commandments, etc. There was not a large number present. I had a measure of freedom in speaking. Brother Robinson and Farman came to this place last night at 11 o'clock. Ms. 49, 1890, P3, Diary 16, P347. Norwich, Connecticut, Sabbath, November 29th, 1890. Evening after the Sabbath. It is milder today. There were fewer than 100 present, but they are indeed a very intelligent people who have embraced the truth. I spoke from Acts 1, on the commission given by Christ to his disciples. I had freedom in speaking. As we were so scattered, meeting held from 11 o'clock. We were in Sabbath school 1 hour. I spoke at 12. The word seemed to reach hearts, and when the social meeting was in session, Minnie spoke right to the point. Ms. 49, 1890, page 3, Diary 16, page 348. Norwich, Connecticut, Sunday, November 30th, 1890. I spoke in the afternoon. The house of worship was full. I have seldom addressed a more intelligent audience. I spoke from Luke 19, of Christ's riding into Jerusalem. The attention of everyone was riveted. I had special strength given me from the Lord, and His Holy Spirit impressed the hearts of the hearers. There was deep feeling in the congregation. My heart was filled with gratitude to my Savior that I was sustained by His Holy Spirit in speaking to the people. Ms. 49, 1890, page 4, Diary 16, page 350. Norwich, Connecticut, Monday, December 1st, 1890. Was pleasant but cold. I spoke to the church, to a goodly number assembled, upon the words of Christ in John 17, Diary 16, page 356. Norwich, Connecticut, Tuesday, December 2nd, 1890. I have been writing diligently upon the words of Christ in John 14. This day I had a long conversation with Dr. Smith, who is a new convert to the truth. He and his wife are certainly seeking to do the will of God. Diary 16, page 357. Norwich, Connecticut, Wednesday, December 3rd, 1890. I visited Brother Apley's family, about 1/2 mile out, and it seemed like home to us. It commenced snowing in the morning and continued until the ground was covered with its white blanket. Brother Greer kindly took us with his horse and carriage to the place. Rain set in, and it was a very disagreeable evening, but I had an appointment at the church. The rain poured from the heavens. Sister Greer loaned me her rubber ulster. The slush and water were so deep it went over my rubbers, and it was dangerous, slippery walking because of the ice upon the rocks leading into the church. Sarah fell as she was leaving the church. The lantern flew out of her hand, and the globe came off and rolled down in the gutter. She struck her head on the steps, and it made her faint and dizzy. Brother Farman came out to deliver a telegram which was to go to Battle Creek, and he fell, but was not injured much. We thank the Lord that these two escaped without further injury.
I spoke to the few assembled in regard to the rise and progress of the messages, and my experience and connection with the work in 1843 and 1844 and since that time. This was not a pleasant task for me, but I knew the people had no real knowledge of my work, and this is what they needed. There was no one present who had had an experience in these messages, and I must speak for myself and for the work in which I have been called to act a part. Ms. 49, 1890, pages 4 to 5, Diary 16, pages 358 to 359. Lynn, Massachusetts, Thursday, December 4th, 1890. Wrote 6 pages to Sister Ings. We left Norwich a little after 8 o'clock. Rode 3 miles in the streetcar to the village. Waited about 30 minutes, and then stepped into the car. I had some talk with Elders Robinson and Farman in regard to their tarrying in Norwich over the Sabbath. Much needs to be done for the church in that place. They need a personal experience in the truth and in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent into the world. Some talk was made in regard to sending Brother Farman to Putnam to help us in the change of cars which we must make at that place, since Sarah was nearly sick with the effects of her fall the previous night, but I thought we could manage. Sarah agreed with me that we would not make any extra expense. We had no trouble in making the change. We were met in Boston by Elder Fifield, who took the weighty part of the baggage. We took a hack across the city, and then were seated in the cars which would take us to Lynn. We were pleased, after making one more change, to enter the house over which Sister Worf presided. She is one of the members of the Umberhind family of Richmond, Maine. We were made welcome in her home, and a pleasant room was ready for us. I could not commence my writing until my trunk came. Then it was too late to see by daylight. On the cars, I wrote 5 pages to be sent back to the church at Norwich, and I wrote 12 pages by gaslight,
that the letters might reach them before the Sabbath. Ms. 50, 1890, page 1, Diary 16, pages 360 to 361. Lynn, Massachusetts, circa December 4th, 1890. The people of the world will try to induce us to soften our message, to suppress one of its more distinctive features. They say, "Why do you in your teaching make the seventh-day Sabbath so prominent? This seems to be always thrust before us. We should harmonize with you if you would not say so much on this point. Keep the seventh-day Sabbath out of the Sentinel, and we will give it our influence and support." And there has been a disposition on the part of some of our workers to adopt this policy. I am bidden to warn you that deceptive sentiments are entertained, a false modesty and caution, a disposition to withhold the profession of our faith. In the night season, matters have been presented before me that have greatly troubled my mind. I have seemed to be in meetings for counsel where these subjects were discussed, and written documents were presented advocating concession. Brethren, shall we permit the world to shape the message that God has given us to bear to them? So then, as well might the patient prescribe the remedies that are to be used for his cure. Shall we, for the sake of policy, betray a sacred trust? If the world is in error and delusion, breaking the law of God, is it not our duty to show them their sin and danger? We must proclaim the third angel's message. What is the sentinel for, but to be the voice of the watchman on the walls of Zion, to sound the danger signal? We care not to cringe and beg pardon of the world for telling them the truth. We should scorn concealment. Unfurl your colors to meet the case of men and angels. Let it be understood that Seventh-day Adventists can make no compromise. In your opinions and faith, there must not be the least appearance of wavering. The world has a right to know what to expect of us, and will look upon us as dishonest, as hiding our real sentiments and principles out of policy, if we carry even the semblance of being uncommitted till the popular voice has pointed out the safe way. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, which Christ said he would send into the world, was to bear an unwavering testimony. Ms. 16, 1890, pages 17 to 18, Counsels to Writers and Editors, 94 to 95. Lynn, Massachusetts, Friday, December 5th, 1890. I have not slept since 3 o'clock. I arose at 4 and sent earnest supplications to heaven for light and for grace to do the will of my heavenly Father. Manuscript 50, 1890, page 2. Diary 16, page 362. Lynn, Massachusetts, Sabbath, December 6th, 1890.
I spoke to the people assembled on the Sabbath from John 14. The Lord gave me freedom in speaking to the people. Many had just come into the faith. One family, all at home, father, mother, and 3 children, embraced the truth. The father is cousin to Edwin Burnham, a First-Day Adventist. He was considered one of the most eloquent preachers among the First-Day Adventists. He opposed the Sabbath of the Fourth Commandment with great vigor. He made most extravagant expressions. He stated that the law of God was an old thunder and lightning law, a bloody law, that it was not possible for man to keep that law, that they never could keep it. It was dead and buried and did not deserve a gravestone. He said he always felt better after he had given the law a good run. And now here is a relative by the name of Burnham who has, with nearly all his family, taken hold of the Sabbath. Ms. 50, 1890, pages 2 to 3. Diary 16, pages 363 to 364. A letter to Mrs. White's children, December 6th, 1890. Dear children, Willie, Edson, and Emma, I have just come from the hall where the little company assembled to worship on the Sabbath. There were about 80 present. I spoke from John 14, verse 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." I had much freedom in speaking. Then we had a social meeting, and 38 testimonies were born. The older members did not take the time, but gave opportunity for those who had more recently come to the faith. I never saw Elder Fifield appear as well as now.
Certainly, he has success in arousing an interest. He feels the burden of souls on this occasion. He reins them up to a decision, and then he says, "I weep with sorrow of soul as I see the difficulties that obstruct their way. A good work has commenced here, and I hope it will be ripened off. This is the reason I left Norwich, for it was a critical time for the interest here while the sheaves are being gathered. Brother Robinson and Farman and Brother Witters were left at Norwich. They were willing I should come, greatly desired I should be here, and yet felt that it was a pity I could not be at Norwich over another Sabbath. I spoke 5 times, speaking 3 evenings, and on Sabbath and Sunday. I slept last night about 10 hours. Praise the Lord, praise His holy name. I shall go to Danvers Wednesday. I have been so deeply interested in John, chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17, that I am writing on the subject. I have written 12 pages today upon John 14, for fear I should have the force of the subject wear away from my mind. This will come in Life of Christ. I have in all 40 pages written. I am glad I attended both these meetings in Norwich and in Lynn." Lynn, Massachusetts, Sunday, December 7th, 1890. "I have reason to be thankful to the Lord for His goodness, His mercy, and His love to me. I slept well last night. I offered up my petition to the Lord for His grace, His Holy Spirit. I wrote 7 pages. I spoke in the afternoon upon Christ's riding into Jerusalem. There were quite a number of first-day Adventists present. After I ceased speaking, many were introduced to me. One lady spoke to me and asked me if I knew her. I told her I did not. She said her name is now Galusia. It used to be Eunice Parks. She was our close neighbor. We were well acquainted with her in our girlhood. She wished me to call upon her. I am trying to visit and write too, which keeps my time fully employed. Ms. 50, 1890, page 5. Diary 16, page 366. Lynn, Massachusetts, Monday, December 8th, 1890. I have been earnestly engaged in writing and in repairing my clothing. Did not walk out all day. I am in deep perplexity. I do not understand why the burden is constantly weighing me down, why I am filled with remorse for those who are connected with the publishing interest in Battle Creek. I am hearing the words spoken in reference to myself and my work. I feel an intense desire to get patriarchs and prophets and great controversy before the people, because the very light they need is contained in these books. Why have those who have accepted the publishing of these books no burden? Ms. 50, 1890, pages 5 to 6, Diary 16, page 368. Lynn, Massachusetts, Tuesday, December 9th, 1890. Devoted some time to prayer. Rose at 5 o'clock. I wrote letters to Burleigh Salisbury, to Dr. Lay and family, also to Sister Apley, and a letter to the church at Norwich. We had an appointment to take dinner with Brother and Sister Burnham. We walked nearly 1 mile, and it was snowy underfoot. We had no rubbers. We found them pleasantly situated. After we reached the house, which was in the outskirts of the city, we had a very pleasant visit with the family, and then prayed with them, and the Lord drew near by His Holy Spirit. All seemed to be much gratified by the visit. We walked a portion of the way back. I felt much exhausted after arriving at my stopping place, and retired at 7 o'clock. I designed to make 1 more visit and attend the prayer meeting in the hall, but I knew it would be presumptuous. It is an exhausting process for me to visit. I feel much the same responsibility as when before the people. I know that light must be shining in all that is said and done, to reflect light upon those with whom we visit. Ms. 50, 1890, page 6. Diary 16, page 369. Danvers, Massachusetts, Wednesday, December 10th, 1890. I thank the Lord I slept well during the night. Arose at 4:30 and wrote 10 pages before breakfast. Sister Worf visited me some. She feels bad that we cannot stay longer. we packed our trunks to leave Lynn at 11:15, accompanied by Elder Fifield. Arrived at this place at 12:15 and walked to Brother Edward's, where we shall make our home while here in Danvers. Wrote about 8 pages. Attended meeting in the evening. There were about 40 present. The notice was not inserted right. It was designed to be published for Wednesday evening, but was printed for Thursday evening. Therefore, I shall now have to speak both evenings. I spoke from Matthew 11, verse 25 to 27. My mind was led out to dwell particularly upon the mission of Christ, which was to reveal the Father. Ms. 51, 1890, page 1. Diary 16, page 370. Danvers, Massachusetts, Thursday, December 11th, 1890. I wrote many pages and did not go out to walk as I ought to have done. I need exercise, but the walks are icy and I feared I might slip and wrench my ankles. About noon, a messenger came from Ipswich to say that Sister Bricky was dangerously sick about 12 miles from this place. Brethren Fifield and Farman went on the cars, which took them within 3 miles of the place. A carriage was waiting for them to take them to the afflicted one. She was very low. They offered prayer on her behalf. She was at once relieved and praised the Lord. Her countenance and voice were changed. They left her happy in God. They attended the 5:30 prayer meeting. I spoke in the evening. A much larger assembly was present. I had freedom in speaking from John 14, dwelling upon the rich promises of God that are so plainly given us in such positive words. The presence of the Lord was in our meeting. I sought the Lord in earnest prayer before going to the meeting. My head was confused, but I knew the Lord God of Israel was a present help in every time of need. I was blessed and had freedom in speaking. I understand there were 12 of the First Day Adventists present, and many outsiders were also in the meeting. Elder Mooney came from Salem. He is desirous I should call on his wife, who apparently is lying on her deathbed. It is suggested that it will be wise for me to speak in Lynn Monday and Tuesday evenings, and then Wednesday take the cars for Washington. May the Lord be our counselor, is my most earnest prayer. I do not wish to presume upon my strength. Ms. 51, 1890, pages 6 to 7. Diary 16, pages 382 to 383. Danvers, Massachusetts, Friday, December 12th, 1890. Rose at 4:30. Sarah and I had but little rest last night. In coming down the steps after closing the door, she thought there was only 1 step. Her heel caught on the 2nd step. She wrenched her ankle, and for a few moments we thought she could not walk. She did walk to the meeting, came back, and after her shoe was removed, her foot pained her considerably. She could not rest, neither could I. She was obliged to get up at midnight and bathe her foot. She is relieved of pain, but it is not wisdom to use her foot in walking at present. Received letters yesterday from Marion, Davis, also from Jones of Oakland, California. Sister Edwards and I walked a short distance to call upon my sister Harriet's daughter, Emma McCann. She married Charlie Morrison. She is his 2nd wife. His 1st wife was Mary McCann, her own sister. She left 3 children. All are married but one, whose name is Mabel. Emma was much pleased to see me. We visited her about 2 hours. In the afternoon, Charlie Morrison, Emma's husband, came with his covered carriage for me to ride out. He took me to his sister's where his mother is staying. He introduced me to his mother and his 2 sisters. They received me courteously and the mother heartily. I had a little visit with them. I was glad to see Charlie's mother. She is a nice, sensible woman, plain, benevolent-looking, and wholesome. When we returned, the horse was afraid of the cars, and we had to go a roundabout way to get to Brother Edward's. We were glad to retire early. My heart is constantly drawn out after God. I plead for His Holy Spirit. The manifestation of the love of God toward us in Christ Jesus softens, yes, breaks my heart, and renews my soul unto holiness. Ms. 51, 1890, pages 7 to 8. Diary 16, pages 384 to 385. A letter to Ellen White's son, December 12, 1890.
Dear Willie, I feel grateful to the Lord that I am as well as I am. I write some every day. I am troubled with the coal stoves, but while it is mild weather, I manage to get air from opening the windows. But the gas will trouble me some, of course. I cannot do the writing I desire to do, being so broken up, changing from place to place, having all times of eating and all kinds of beds. But none of these things trouble me to keep me wakeful. Sarah and I sleep together, and I keep her awake sometimes, and she me. But we have nothing to complain of, except I am not so much broken up as I am on the life of Christ. Everyone has his ideas, his ways, which are not my ideas and my ways, but I fall into line and adapt myself to the situation, and eat breakfast frequently at 9 o'clock, dinner at 3. But I have, with few exceptions, suffered nothing in this, for I was so engaged in writing, I was fully absorbed. Danvers, Massachusetts, Sabbath, December 13th, 1890. Meetings commenced in the church at 10:30. Brother Robinson preached, then Sabbath school. I spoke at 2:30 from 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, and 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. The Spirit of the Lord rested upon me and upon the people. I then called for all to come forward who were convinced that they must have a deeper work of grace in their hearts. Everyone in the house responded but two. I went to 4 young men, and I pleaded with them to make a decided effort to make this move and say, I will give myself to Jesus. 3 went forward. 1 did not go. We had a very earnest season of prayer. Manuscript 51, 1890, page 9. Diary 16, page 386. Danvers, Massachusetts, Sunday, December 14th, 1890. Brother Farman spoke to the people in the forenoon. I called upon Emma Morrison, my sister's child. Found her alone, but soon her husband and his son, who is married, came from Salem. We had a short visit. I spoke in the missionary meeting in regard to the importance of the canvassing work. I also spoke at length in the afternoon, at 2:30. I was pleased to see Charlie Morrison, his wife Emma, and his son, as attentive hearers of the word. I spoke from the words found in John 3, verse 1-4. The Seventh-day Adventist church was full. Many from other denominations and from the First-day Adventists were present, and all listened with deepest interest. The Lord gave me the word and fervor and power to address the audience. Ms. 51, 1890, page 15. Diary 16, page 396. Dear Brother Olson, our meeting at Danvers has closed. During the session, I spoke 5 times, 2 evenings in the week and on Sabbath morning, at the missionary meeting held Sunday morning, and also on Sunday afternoon. I am satisfied beyond a doubt that the Lord has a message for me to bear to His people. I have felt the sustaining power of God as I have stood before the congregation, and I know that the power of God was working through the human agent. I know that many have received the word, and hungry souls have been fed. My heart is full of sympathy and love for the souls that are ready to die. Since the Brooklyn camp meeting, I no longer talk of sickness and infirmity. I have never had such freedom from pain, and have not slept so well for 12 years. The peace of God abides in my heart. We had a most precious meeting in Lynn, but especially so at Danvers. Last Sabbath, all in the house save 2, an aged colored man and a poor, timid soul who dared not make the move, came forward for prayer. The angel of God was in our midst. The ministers sought the Lord, and their supplications were heard in heaven.
After the severe trials and hard labor I have undergone in Battle Creek, only to be met with refusal to receive the message, this spirit refreshes my soul. Postscript. I was urged by our ministering brethren to return to Lynn and speak on Tuesday and Wednesday evening. I have consented to do this. Brother Fifield is doing all he can to get the people to the meetings on these two evenings. May the Lord move upon their hearts, is my prayer. On Thursday night, we go to Boston, take the sleeper for Washington, and arrive in that city on Friday at 11 o'clock. Lynn, Massachusetts, Monday, December 15th, 1890. We left Danvers at about 10 o'clock a.m., called on Mrs. Emma Morrison and said goodbye to her. She felt disappointed that I could not visit her, but I was altogether too weary to do the visiting many hoped I could do. There were two meetings Wednesday and Thursday evenings. I must speak in Lynn, learn the best route that would take us to Washington, D.C., purchase our tickets, and have everything in readiness for the journey to Washington. Ms. 52, 1890, P1. Diary 16, P399. Lynn, Massachusetts, Tuesday, December 16th, 1890.
I have felt drawn out in earnest petitions to God all day. In the early morning, I wrote 9 pages before breakfast and wrote many pages through the day. I spoke in the hall to a good congregation. I felt most intensely upon some points, especially the inauguration of Christ on the banks of Jordan to his appointed work. Manuscript 52, 1890, page 1. Diary 16, page 400. Lynn, Massachusetts, Wednesday, December 17th, 1890. In the forenoon, wrote letters to different ones at Battle Creek. In the afternoon, received a number of visitors. One sister is a believer. Her husband does not believe the truth. He at first opposed her, but he senses a great change in her, and this has a convincing power with him. I spoke Wednesday night. The rainstorm prevented many from attending, for the windows of heaven seemed to be opened and pouring out their treasures of rain. I had much freedom in speaking from John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Manuscript 52, 1890, pages 3, 5. Diary 16, pages 406, 409. A letter to Ellen White's son. Thursday, December 18th, 1890. Dear son Willie, I received your letter and draft in the hall last evening, where we had gone to attend my appointment Wednesday evening in a pouring rain. I was glad to hear from you and glad of the draft. We had borrowed money from Elder Robinson to buy our tickets. I had $20 of my own, which I have had to use in traveling and in getting shoes and some little things for winter. I speak evenings and go home and sleep well. This, you know, I have been unable to do for years. I realize the blessing of the Lord resting upon me and His presence with me in a sensible manner. What my future course may be, the Lord knows. He hangs a mist before my eyes that I shall only see the present, and I am content it should be thus. I am resting in the love of God with a peaceful trust and a happy assurance. I am not worrying about the future. I know the Lord will do all things well. I am always inclined to look ahead and make plans, but I have committed myself to God and all that I am into His hands. I am ready now to go to California any time the Lord may direct, ready to go to Australia or go to Europe or any place in the world the Lord may see fit to send me. I am His property, and I lean heavily upon the arm of God. It is strong and will bear me up. We take the cars from Boston at 9 o'clock tonight and go through without change to Washington. Arrive there at 11 o'clock a.m. Washington, D.C., Friday, December 19th, 1890. We left Lynn Thursday night at 4 for Boston,
from which place we took cars for Washington. We found in the morning that we would not arrive at Washington until 3 hours behind time. We stopped 1 hour in Baltimore. We arrived in Washington about 3 o'clock and were so thankful to get baggage and all to the mission before the hours of the Sabbath. We decided that we would not start a journey so close to the Sabbath again. We would make arrangements to get to our destination, having 1 day's leeway. There was no one at the depot to meet us. The porter put us in a hack, and we came to the mission all right, and could commence the Sabbath without anxiety and confusion. The friends had been to the depot twice for us, and the delay confused them. They were glad to receive us. There has been sadness and suffering in the church. Brother Howard has lost one child, and two more have been at the point of death. They were living in an old wooden house which was decaying, and there was a disagreeable smell. The typhoid fever, it is thought, was in consequence of this unhealthful house. The family were taken out and put into the house Brother McGee had hired, and in that house they will escape the difficulties. I feel deep sympathy for Brother Howard. We are praying that the Lord will sustain our brother and that he will give him fresh courage and hope. God will not leave him if he will put his trust in him. Ms. 53, 1890, pages 1 to 2. Diary 16, pages 410 to 411. Washington, D.C. Sabbath, December 20th, 1890. We took the streetcars to reach our appointment, which was quite a distance away. We found quite a goodly number assembled in Sabbath school. The exercises were not yet over. I spoke at 11 o'clock with much freedom from Isaiah 6, verse 8. We had a social meeting and many excellent testimonies were born. The presence of Jesus was in our midst, and our hearts were made glad to see that as many as one half of the number had been united with the church since I was here 2 years ago. There was a most intelligent company present. My soul was blessed on this day. Ms. 53, 1890, P2. Diary 16, P412. Washington, D.C., Sunday, December 21st, 1890. We attended the forenoon meeting of the week of prayer at 10:30. There were only about 30 present.
Sunday evening, we had to walk only a few blocks to get to the hall. It is a dance hall, but it is roomy and well ventilated. We had a good attendance from outside, and most of our people were present. I spoke from the first epistle of John, chapter 3. The best of attention was given by the congregation. The subject urges itself upon my mind. Why is not this center, this important place, prepared to have the house of worship so much needed? I hope our people will see the necessity of doing something without delay. The message must be presented here in the most wise yet simple way. Will the hearts of the people of God who believe in present truth give a correct representation in a church building, so we shall not have to assemble in a dance hall to speak the truth? We have been talking this matter over, and we are getting all stirred up over the fact that at the capital of the American nation there is so miserable a representation of the grand truths which we are to properly represent. The unbelievers will get the start of us. Ms. 53, 1890, pages 2 to 3, Diary 16, pages 413 to 414. Washington, D.C., Monday, December 22nd, 1890. This day was devoted in the early morning at 4:30 to prayer for the Lord to bless me and give me physical strength and mental clearness and clear spiritual discernment. I believe the promise, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." I shall take the Lord Jesus at his word. I wrote 10 pages of important matter. About 10 o'clock, I went to the dentist and had my teeth examined and one tooth filled, which caused me no pain. I had an impression taken for a new set of teeth. When I returned, I found letters awaiting me. One from Edson stated that my account at the office had swelled to the enormous sum of $7,000. This is, much of it, in publishing Volume 4, Great Controversy, and Patriarchs and Prophets. In the evening, I walked to the place of meeting and spoke in a large hall to about 100 people. Oh, how my heart yearns to see the people of God coming up to their high calling. I greatly desire that we should have an increase of faith and stand as valiant soldiers of Jesus Christ. I spoke from John 14, verse 1 to 4, Manuscript 53, 1890, pages 3 to 5, Diary 16, pages 415, 417. A letter to Mrs. White's sister, Monday, December 22, 1890. Dear Sister Mary Foss, I wrote to you a few days ago, and now another matter comes up. Elder Loughborough is writing me asking if I know of anyone now alive who was present at the meeting I have mentioned held at McGuire's Hill, where I related the first visions I had. Mary, you were at the meeting, were you not? Your memory is so good. Do you have any remembrance of this? If so, state on paper what you do know in regard to it. I have spoken 3 times in this place and will return from here to my home at Battle Creek, having been away 3 months, laboring constantly from place to place. I speak here 4 times more, then return home. A letter to Mrs. White's children, Monday, December 22, 1890. Dear children, Edson, Emma, and Willie, we left Lynn December 18th, Thursday evening. We had all the help we needed in getting us to Boston and on board the sleeper. As the price for one berth was $3 the entire distance to Washington, Sarah decided to save the $3 and go into the day coach. The porter told her not to go into the day coach as there were several berths unoccupied. He told her after the sleeping car conductor had taken his berth, he would make her up a berth. This she refused to accept. She told him it would not be strictly honest, and she would take her chances in the day coach. The porter then went to the conductor and talked with him, and the conductor then asked her to remain. They did not make her up a berth, but gave her 2 seats to make herself as comfortable as she could. She slept well through the night. I did not sleep as well as usual, for my arms would become almost paralyzed with the hard bed. I was obliged to rub them and work over them, for they seemed about helpless. We had beautiful weather. The air was cool and bracing, and the cars were not overheated. We found in the morning we could not reach Washington on time at 11 o'clock, for we were 3 hours behind time. We tarried 1 hour in Baltimore and reached Washington at 3 o'clock p.m. As there was no one to meet us, the porter secured a hack, and the hackman took us to the mission. We were thankful to get trunks and all arranged before the Sabbath. After this, we shall always endeavor to make arrangements to get to our place of destination on Thursday.
They had about given up our coming, but were glad indeed to see us. Sabbath, I spoke upon Isaiah 58. I had freedom, as I have had in every instance in speaking on this tour. We had a hall well filled, and we had an excellent social meeting. We know the presence of the Lord was in the meeting. The softening, subduing influence of the Spirit of God was there, and the testimonies born were good. I was at the forenoon meeting on Sunday. The reading of Elder Olson's article was deferred for this day. Brother Washburn selected a portion of the article for several to read. A Methodist preacher and his wife are soundly converted to the truth. Baker, I think, is his name. While reading the portion assigned him, which was the quotation from the testimonies, he tried and tried to read it, but he had to wipe away the tears so often, and then his glasses, of course, were dimmed, and when he came to some portions of the quotations, he just broke down and cried. He turned to Brother Washburn and handed him the paper and said, "You take it. I cannot read it." But all these pauses on that occasion only made the effect more impressive. Brother Washburn told him to take his time and read on. Then, after the reading, we had a solemn season of prayer. I had the spirit of intercession, and there was a deep feeling in the congregation. I then spoke about 30 minutes with much of the Spirit of the Lord upon me. Sunday evening, a larger hall was obtained, and I spoke to a goodly number of outsiders as well as the church. I had much freedom, and all listened as if spellbound. I do not choose to speak evenings,
but I can see no other way to get the congregation. A collection was taken up which more than covered the expense of the hall. They have a hall engaged for 3 evenings in the week. This hall was secured for only 1 evening. It was a dance hall. But there was excellent ventilation. All seemed to be much pleased with the congregation last evening. I have an appointment for tonight. Sunday, we had a little shower, but it was all clear in the evening. All the help I have here is Elder Washburn. This will throw considerable labor upon me, but I shall try to be careful. I had a malarious attack, but not serious. I am feeling quite strong and of good courage in the Lord. I tried to have them release me 2 evenings this week to speak twice in Baltimore, but they are unwilling I shall go, so I am in for it over next Sabbath and Sunday. I shall have Brother Davis attend to my teeth while here. There are several cases who are in the valley of decision. We hope they will decide to obey God. Next Sabbath will be a special day of fasting and prayer and earnest labor for me, and I shall trust in God, who is my helper and my God, for strength. Washington, D.C., Tuesday, December 23rd, 1890. Tuesday morning I rose at 4 a.m., and after a season of prayer I felt comforted and encouraged to try to put my trust fully in the Lord. I rest in His promises. I shall see of His salvation. I will not distrust my Heavenly Father, for He has been true and faithful in all things, and He will never fail those who put their trust in Him. My greatest anxiety is lest something shall interpose between me and my God. I am called not only to write, but to bear my testimony with voice as well as pen, and I must be situated where I can be lifted out of the temporal embarrassments and the common business perplexities and conflicts. Ms. 53, 1890, page 5. Diary 16, page 418. Washington, D.C., Wednesday, December 24th, 1890. I have not felt as well as usual. Speaking so many times in the evenings is not favorable to me. I visited Sister D., Sister Gilmore's grandmother. Again the Lord set before me in the night season, December 24th, the perils coming upon the people of God. Christmas Eve I spoke in a good-sized hall to an intelligent congregation from Luke 10, verse 25 to 28. I had freedom in speaking. There were a goodly number present, and all listened with much attention. Ms. 53, 1890, pages 6 to 7. Diary 16, pages 420, 423. Washington, D.C., Thursday, December 25th, 1890. I attended morning meeting in the hall. We listened to the readings, which were made very interesting. Then I was asked to lead in prayer, and several prayers were offered. I felt like pressing my prayers to the throne of grace for the Lord to open the work in Washington. The Spirit of the Lord rested upon us as we prayed. Many were blessed. I then spoke about 30 minutes. Our meeting commenced at 10:30, and we did not reach the mission until 3 p.m. Had conversation with Sister Kirkland in regard to riding on the cars to the place of meeting because it was, she thought, violating the Sabbath. I told her no, that it was more displeasing to God to remain away from the meetings than to ride on the cars to meet together to worship God. I will write more on this subject when I can use pen and ink. Thursday, December 25th. Spoke in a hall to an intelligent congregation from Luke 10, verse 25. My mind has been in painful exercise during the night. I was in a meeting in Battle Creek and heard many suggestions made and saw a spirit manifested not of God. They were having a storm of words. How my heart ached. Ms. 53, 1890, pages 7 to 8, Diary 16, pages 421 to 422. Washington, D.C., Friday, December 26th, 1890. I have had a very precious blessing all night. I slept some, but my heart was full of praise and thanksgiving to God. My mind this night is especially elevated, and I am breathing in the atmosphere of heaven.
I am thinking and thinking, too happy to sleep. Ms. 53, 1890, pages 10 to 11. Diary 16, pages 424 to 427. Washington, D.C., Sabbath, December 27th, 1890. Rose at 4 o'clock and felt the peace and assurance of Jesus Christ as I offered up my humble prayer. Last evening, in our season of prayer at the commencement of the Sabbath, the Lord's presence was with us. Again, during the night season, I was in Battle Creek and was bearing a most decided testimony to the men whom the people have chosen to be representative men in our institution, the publishing house. Spoke in the hall to the church in Washington. The hall was well filled, and I had much freedom in speaking from 2 Peter 1, showing the necessity of practical godliness. Manuscript 53, 1890, pages 12, 14. Diary 16, pages 428, 430 to 431. Washington, D.C., Sunday, December 28, 1890. In company with Elder Washburn, Sarah McEnterfer and I left Washington at 9 o'clock for Baltimore to meet a previous appointment at 11 o'clock. We learned the cars did not stop at the station where we had written for them to meet us, and no one was waiting for us at the next station. We met Sister Harris on the train, and all four of us went on our way to find the place of meeting. It was not readily found. We walked from street to street. It was bitterly cold, but the air was bracing and good food for the lungs. After wandering about nearly 1 hour, we were just as much in the dark as when we began the search. We searched directories in vain. We decided to take the streetcar and see where that would take us. This was wise. I believe the Lord suggested this to our minds. On the car was a colored sister just going to the meeting, and she directed us so we found the little hall, away out in the country. The hall was literally packed with believers and unbelievers. They had been waiting 1 hour, fearing that we would not come. How rejoiced were our brethren to see us! The meeting was opened at once. I spoke from John 14, dwelling particularly upon that portion which refers to the commandments of God, verses 15, 21 to 26. The Lord strengthened and blessed me in speaking to the people. There were quite a number of the First Day Adventists present. They are believers in the age to come and disbelievers in the pre-existence of Christ before he came to our world. Although I had not the slightest knowledge of the faith of those present, being a stranger to the people, yet the remarks were so fitting to those present that Brother Jones, elder of the church, said he thought they would accuse him of telling me, but we came directly into the meeting without one word of conversation with anyone. I dwelt particularly upon the divine character of Jesus Christ. We walked a short distance to Brother and Sister Jones's and became acquainted a little with their family. We were much pleased with the family. We took dinner with them and then stepped into a hack provided for us that took us to the station. We were obliged to wait 3/4 of an hour for the cars, for they were behind time, but we got on board the train and were soon comfortably seated. We reached Washington about 4 o'clock. Friends were glad to see us. Elder Washburn remained to hold meetings Sunday night. I was not well. My heart troubled me. Great pain was in my heart, something of the same nature that I suffered in California. I could sleep but little that night. We decided when this pain came on me so unexpectedly that I would not be able to attend the meetings we designed in Philadelphia, Ohio, and Williamsport. As I had no appointments out, it was thought best to return home to Battle Creek. All urged us to do this when they learned how sick I was. Ms. 53, 1890, pages 18 to 20. Diary 16, pages 439 to 442. En route. From Washington, D.C. to Battle Creek, Monday, December 29th, 1890.
I had a suffering night and left Washington at 11 o'clock a.m. We took the sleeper, paid for only one berth, $3.50. Sarah would not pay for an extra berth and rode in day coach and saved the $3.50. We tried to get a cup of hot drink, as there was a dining car attached to the train, but they said they had not any, so we ate our home lunch and relished it. They did not seem pleased because we did not patronize the dining car,
But in all my travels, I do not create expense by visiting restaurants or patronizing dining cars. We carry our simple lunch and are perfectly satisfied. I have eaten only twice in the dining car in all my journeyings, and I feel it my duty to bind about expenses and not make the conference pay large bills for me to gratify my appetite. Our simple lunch of dry bread suffices me. Ms. 53, 1890, page 20. Diary 16, page 443. Battle Creek, Michigan, Tuesday, December 30th, 1890. We changed cars early in the morning, waited 40 minutes, stepped into a restaurant across the street and called for warm drink, hot water and milk, and were refreshed. We were soon seated in the cars for Toledo. Without delay, we took streetcars for the next depot while a dray took our trunks across. We found cars open and we took our seats in them. They did not leave for half an hour. I was thankful we performed the journey thus far so comfortably. We reached Battle Creek about 3 p.m., Ms. 53, 1890, page 21, Diary 16, page 444.